Chapter 34 Molly and Sonny had dinner together at Molly's house. Jesse had been invited to join them and asked Sonny who was cooking. She asked what difference it made. "A lot," he said. "Is that a reflection on my kitchen skills?" "It is," he said. "Molly's cooking, if that influences your thinking," she said. Jesse told her that while it did, he wanted to stay home and do some work on the Paul Hutton case. "Got my book to keep me company," he said. They both knew he meant his murder book. He never made a big deal of it, but Molly and Suit and Gabe and Peter all knew he kept one. So, too, did Sonny. He kept the same kind of book he had when he'd worked robbery-homicide. The only difference was that he used a moleskin notebook now. Upscale. "I know you," Sonny said on the phone. "Oh, boy," he said. "I mean, you think you're missing something," she said, "even though you hardly ever miss anything." "Missing you right now."
"I could call later and talk dirty to you on the phone," Sonny said.
"Maybe we should pin down a time right now," Jesse said. Sonny said, "You think this Hathaway guy might be the one behind everything?"
"He's a vindictive son of a bitch," Jesse said. "And probably still thinks of himself as some kind of king rat, even from prison. But I got the sense that he just wanted me to think it was him, once he knew why I was there." She had put them on speaker.
"But we are going to check the visitors' logs and his phone calls, right?" Molly said.
"Yes, sir."
He had food delivered from a new fusion place a couple blocks from the station. He always ordered the drunken noodles, another private joke. Now he ate at the kitchen table and slowly went through the notes he had been taking on the unlined pages since Christina had found Paul Hutton's body, all the way through his last meeting with Lily Kane. Next to his notebook was a yellow legal pad. In big letters, he had once again written, "Who was he there to see?" Underlined it. If he knew that, it didn't mean he'd know who shot Hutton in the back of the head on the other side of town. Wouldn't mean he had the murder weapon or motive. But he would know a hell of a lot more than he knew now. He went back and started at the beginning. He read his notes on his meeting with Ellen Shannon and Karen Bowles from Stony Hill Stables, struck again by how much of this seemed to run through Florida. Whit Kane had been there a lot. Karina had come from there. Hutton had worked there when he was still a drunk, but showed up in Paradise sober, searching for someone or something, talking about amends. From whom? For what? Jesse also ended up back there, spinning his wheels. He cleaned the table, saved the leftovers, thought about firing up the Keurig he kept near the coffee pot for a single cup. He'd finally given in and bought one for himself, though part of him was resistant to the whole idea. The Keurig made a perfect cup of coffee every time. But Jesse had always thought that took the sport out of it. What he really wanted to do was open the cabinet where the bottle had always been and begin fixing himself a good strong drink in a tall glass with just the right combination of scotch and ice and soda. Level himself off. What he used to tell himself. The word he used. Like booze was one of those levels that carpenters used to make sure planes and angles were straight. Jesse knew he was kidding himself. It was the ultimate drinker's game. Bullshitting yourself. Even after you were sober by not keeping liquor in the house. Not even for Sonny. He knew by heart how late the stores stayed open in Paradise. Franco's, the best liquor store in town. The chains. He knew he didn't even need the stores. He could drive over to the Gull and ask whichever bartender was on the stick tonight to sell him a bottle of scotch. It was always there if you wanted it. He'd explained that once to Marcy Campbell, one of the times when he was sober again before rehab, when they were still hooking up for casual sex, just for the sheer uncomplicated fun of it.
The way I'm always there when you want me, Marcy had said.
He'd quit Marcy, too, even though she made it abundantly clear every time they ran into each other that she was still abundantly available to him. He made himself a cup of coffee and took it into the living room. He'd been with Sonny drunk and sober. He'd been with a lot of women, both drunk and sober. The ones he'd left, the ones who'd left him. It was different with Sonny. More than any of them, including Jen, Sonny had always accepted who he was. Didn't mean the others hadn't. He tried to explain it to Dix once, badly, finally telling him that he'd always found his relationship with Sonny non-transactional, without expectations or boundaries, or commitment. Maybe until now. She was here now because she wanted to be with him, not her ex-husband. He knew she still loved Richie. Probably always would. Maybe he'd been her drug of choice. Maybe she was the one in recovery from him. There had been a part of Jesse that had never completely understood the connection she felt with Richie. The romanticized version of him she'd carried around inside her since she first fallen for him. Saloon owner, son of the Irish mob, now full-time father to his son. Whatever the connection, Jesse had always thought the best version of Sonny was when she was here, with him, working with him again. He walked over and turned on the Red Sox game and felt himself smiling. Better to be thinking about her than about drinking. Bullshitting himself into thinking that a drink in his hand, a night like this, used to help him think better, more clearly. But then he'd have one and he'd be off, making himself the next one. And he'd wake up in the morning and look at the notes he'd been taking and feel as if he were trying to read Sanskrit. He drank coffee, picked up the book, went back to the beginning again, read it all the way through, wondering all over again why Paul Hutton would make the effort to go to the Kane house and then not make any attempt to get in. Maybe he went to see Lily, not knowing what was happening at the theater. Or the old man. Or Karina. Maybe there was a prior relationship with her in Florida, and she was the one lying her ass off. Maybe Troy Drake had been lying. Maybe Kevin Feeney had been lying to Molly and Sonny. And Joe Marino, Bo's father, always made Jesse think of a line he'd read once about a guy looking like a bouncer who'd come into some money. The shit you thought about alone in the night. He closed the notebook and fell asleep in front of baseball again, despite the perfect cup of coffee next to him. Didn't have to be drunk to still be able to do that. Had plenty of practice. Tomorrow, he would go back to the Canes and bother Lily again and talk to Karina again. Karina and the old man, if it was one of the old man's good days. When he woke, just past 2 a.m, they were replaying the game on the Red Sox network. He shut off the television and went to bed. Another big night for the Chief.